Thank you, Mike. Well, over the last couple weeks, we've been talking about, are you attractive or are you just good looking? And we've come to learn that there are some among us, like Don Davis, that are just so good looking that it just doesn't hardly get any better than that. That to look at someone like that is almost to look on the beauty in the face of God. And Don, with that in mind, we'd appreciate it if you'd start wearing a veil to church so that we can stand it. You know, take a little bit of that shine off. But there are some like that, I guess. But then I think most of us might say, you're more like me, and boy, you know, I'm not sure there's enough help out there to where it could be said that, you know, I'm good looking, so I got to go with another plan, and that is maybe to be attractive and deal with that attractiveness that comes from within and that comes from having the presence of God, and more specifically the Holy Spirit of God living within us. And so we started out with talking about the fruit of the Spirit and how those are characteristics that God wants to sow into our and plant into our lives so that we are attractive to other people. And last week we talked about peace. Tonight we're going to talk about self-control. So I told you a couple weeks ago we're going to talk about three of those: peace, self-control, and the last one's going to be patience next week. Okay, so we'll all patiently await that. But tonight we're going to talk about self-control. And so let's think about, what is it that we want self-control with? What are the aspects of our lives where we need self-control? And there obviously are many of them. There's our thought life, you have our emotions, our habits, our words, our relationships. We could just go on and on with different areas of our life where we need self-control, because we need self-control in those areas, because if we don't control those areas, those aspects of our lives then control us. And we know that when those aspects of our life, whether it's our tongue or our temper or our habits, when they control us, really what is happening is our life is out of control. And God wants us to have self-control. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit that we're thinking about. The truth is that we don't like to talk about the aspects of our lives or the areas of our lives where we have no self-control, because that's kind of embarrassing. You know, nobody likes to talk about their weaknesses. Nobody likes to talk about the areas where they just can't get a grip on things, and they just can't bring that under control. And as you hear me say that, you know, your mind is kind of filtering through a lot of things. You're kind of saying, yeah, I know there are some areas there where I just don't really seem to be able to get a grasp on that. And those are the things that we try to keep hidden. And the truth is that all of us, as we sit here tonight, there are some things that as we think about it, we wonder, am I ever really going to get over that? Am I ever really going to be able to get a handle on that? Am I ever really going to be able to stop that? Or am I ever really going to be able to stop that and change and do something different? Many times we like to blame stuff on other people or our environment or our surroundings or our circumstances. But the truth of the matter is that oftentimes we get in trouble and we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, not because what somebody else did or a particular environment that we're in or anything like that, but it just comes down to a simple matter of we lack self-control. I mean, the toughest fight you will ever fight, the toughest battle for control you will ever have to endure is the battle for self-control. It is the battle that goes on in your heart and your mind every day. I mean, let's face it, it's the battle sometimes even just to get out of bed at a decent hour in the morning. You know, that takes self-discipline, that takes self-control. And you understand what I'm talking about. And so many times, most of the time, our issues come down to we get ourselves in trouble because we simply lack self-control. As much as we want to put the blame on somebody else, when you get really honest with yourself, and in those moments where you just get Just get real clarity about why you are where you are and why some of those things are going on in your life that are going on in your life that you don't really like. Sometimes it might have been out of your control, but most of the time we can trace it back and say, well, you know, there was a moment or there have been some decisions, there have been some habits that I've had where I have just simply not practiced self-control. I've not said no to self. And so those are the things we want to think about this evening. So let's think about the picture of self-control. What is self-control? Self-control is, it is inner strength. It is holding oneself in. Another word for self-control, and this would be more of a King James word for self-control, is the word temperance. That is the idea of restraining our passions or appetites. Restraining those, really, what are those natural God-given desires and appetites that we have that are good, but self-control is that I'm going to restrain those. I'm going to filter those. I'm not just going to let them run wild, and I'm not going to be a slave to them. Too many people, even Christian people, live their lives as a slave to their emotions and their feelings and their whims and their desires and, frankly, even their weaknesses. Self-control is learning to rein all of that in. And God has given all of us natural desires that are good. Every desire that God has given us is good. You can talk about whatever desire that is. Those desires are good. The problem is many times because of a lack of self-control, we try to fulfill them, and you know this, we try to fulfill them in inappropriate ways. Or we try to fulfill them at inappropriate times or in inappropriate relationships. Well, whatever the case may be. And so self-control is that issue of restraining, holding in, dealing with, filtering those passions, those desires, those appetites. And that is what God wants us to have. That is what God says is available to us through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we're not talking about fruits of the Holy Spirit, okay? So don't say, well, you know, yeah, I've got love and joy and kindness and peace, but I just don't have self-control. Yes, you do. It's there. The problem is that we just don't access it by what the Bible says, by walking with the Spirit. Because the truth is, when we don't practice self-control, it's because we're not walking with the Spirit. We're just walking according to what we want to do and those desires and those appetites, unfiltered and unrestrained. And that's our problem. But God says, no, you don't have to do that. See, because if you look at this fruit here, this fruit of the Holy Spirit, one part of it, one ingredient, one vitamin, if you will, of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So it's there for all of us. We just have to learn to access it. So why does God want us to have self-control? Well, two reasons. One, self-control defends against temptation and destruction. Proverbs 25:26 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Now, you know that comes from the ancient practices or the ancient picture of when a city was built, they built a wall around it. And what was the wall there for? It was there for protection. They didn't have air forces and navies and all the kind of things that we do. They didn't have radar and all the modern technology we have. When they built a city, they would build a wall around it. And it was built for protection. And you know that in ancient times, when one country or kingdom or group of people would conquer another or take a city, what would they do? They would tear down the wall. Because they were saying, you know, you're not keeping us out anymore. We have conquered you, we've overcome. And it was a point of shame for those cities that had their walls destroyed. But the Bible says that a person who lacks self-control is like a city whose walls are broken down. So a person who has no self-control is like a person who has no protection. Because when the walls come down, the tempters take over. So to put it in modern terminology, a person who lacks self-control is like a country that doesn't have an army. A person who lacks self-control is like a child who doesn't have parents. There's no protection. There's no buffer. There's no boundary there. There's nothing to filter what comes in. And so a person who lacks self-control, the Word of God says, just lacks protection, has no protection against the temptations and the issues and the problems that come at you. You kind of become a slave to those things. We're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes and how we can deal with that. But God wants us to have self-control because it defends against temptation and destruction. And God also wants us to have self-control because self-control leads to godliness and love. Self-control is one of the building blocks of a godly, Christ-like character that God wants to build into your life. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, he goes through this list of things, these list of characteristics that we're to stack on top of one another to build godliness or this Christ-like character in our lives. And here's what he says. He says, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, and here's our word, self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now, every one of us, as we read through that list, and you've read it many times, I'm sure, in your personal reading time, and you've studied in Sunday school, and every one of us sitting here tonight would say, well, you know, if I said, would you like to have godliness in your life? You would say, absolutely, I want to be a godly person. If I said, do you want to be characterized by love and brotherly kindness in your life? You would say, absolutely, I want to be characterized by brotherly kindness and love. And then if I said, what keeps tripping you up? Look at this list, where do you keep stumbling? Most of us, if we were honest, would have to say, well, you know, sometimes I just lack self-control. Because sometimes I just do things that I know I shouldn't do. Sometimes I'm thinking in my mind, boy, I know I shouldn't go there. I know I shouldn't talk to her. I know I shouldn't do that, but I do it anyway. And see, when we lack self-control, that sort of derails us on the road or in the process towards godliness and love. Why do we struggle? Why do we struggle with self-control? Now, for most of you have been in church a long time, so this is not going to be a shocker of an answer to you. But why do we struggle with self-control? Here's why. Because temptation is always there. Because temptation is always near. Because the Bible tells us that we have an enemy who's doing what? He's always looking for an opportunity. He's always looking for just that little crack. And I want to tell you, and you know this, Satan knows your buttons better than you do. Okay? Satan knows your buttons better than you do. And so he knows what buttons to push. Temptation is always there. That thing that we always struggle with, it's always just sort of lurking in the darkness. It's sort of lying over there in the weeds. It's always there. It's never really far away. We know it's there. We know we're going to face it again. And it can be a lot of different things. And we name all the big things, like all the sexual sins and the drugs and all that. But you know, it can be something like spending too much money. It can be something like food, gossip, all kinds of things. Those are things that we go to when we need comfort. Those are things that, if you really think about, why do I do that? Because there are times when the pressure's built up so much in your heart and your life and your mind that you think, I need some comfort. And for some reason, those things, at least temporarily, comfort us. But we also know that as soon as the comfort wave passes, here comes the tidal wave of destruction and guilt and shame, all because of a lack of self-control. And so It's always there. We know we're going to face these things when we're struggling, when we're feeling bad about ourselves, when we've experienced a setback, when we've had a bad day. It's like a medicine we reach for to medicate ourselves. But ultimately, we know that it destroys. But you know, you don't just experience it in when you're struggling. Sometimes it's hard to have self-control when you've just experienced a spiritual high or a spiritual victory. Many of you grew up in church, you went to, you know, youth camp and things like that. And you know how when you come back off of youth camp, man, everybody's just jacked up and it's like, oh man, it was so great, you know, and we're just gonna be a completely different group because I'm a completely different person. We all made our decision and we signed our card and everything, you know, and we just got all pumped up. And man, we come back because we've been getting up and reading our Bible every morning and we're just, I mean, you're just on the mountain. But what happens? It's not long before reality sets back in. And Satan kind of knocks on your door and says, hey, yeah, you had a good weekend, but I'm here every day, buddy. I'm here every day. So just be ready and just know I'm going to push those same buttons. And so sometimes it's even after our spiritual victories, but the mistake we oftentimes make is that we think that the issue is with whatever the situation is. In other words, we think that the issue rests somewhere out there in the environment. And remember we said last week, and really the week before too, that most of the time we think, well, you know, if I can just change, fix, or tweak something in my environment, everything will be good. Because it's somewhere out there in the environment that I need to fix this. And we don't realize the depth of the problem. We don't realize the depth of the problem. You've probably heard, and you've probably said things like this. Well, you know, I can handle it. You know, if I really want to stop, I can. If I, you know, once I really make up my mind, I'll be able to stop. Or you've said, well, you know, at least I don't, or at least I didn't. And what you're doing there is you're comparing. Well, yeah, I've got some problems and I've done some things, but boy, I didn't do what he did. I'd never do what she did. And that keeps us on the surface. That keeps us from really dealing with the problems. We have a word for that, and that word is denial. Denial. It's denial that there are things in my own heart that I need to address. Denial keeps you at the surface. It keeps you from changing. It keeps you from exercising self-control. It keeps you working to fix the problem rather than fix yourself. You see, most of us are working so hard at fixing our problems that we fail to fix ourselves. Jesus doesn't invade your life to fix your problems. He invades your life through the Holy Spirit to change you, to fix you. Because in the sight of God, you were the problem. I was the problem. And I am the problem when I don't walk in the Spirit, but I just walk according to Ken. God says, that's the problem right there. And that's what we got to deal with. And so for me to blame anything or anybody else is simply denial. Too often we only try to treat the symptoms of temptation rather than the root. It's kind of like, and you medical people, it's always dangerous to talk about medical stuff when you got doctors and nurses in the room. But this is going to be very simplistic, okay? It's kind of like the difference between treating a virus and a bacteria. You know, what is the common cold? It's a virus. And if you go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, Kevin, I know you hate people saying doc, so I'm going to doctor, all right? you hate people, you know, if you go to the doctor and you say, hey, doctor, you know, I've got a cold, what's the doctor going to say? Well, you know, just go home, drink plenty of fluids, give it 7 to 10 days, it'll run its course. I mean, there's nothing they can give you to get rid of the cold. If anybody ever invents a cure for the cold, they're going to be a billionaire. But if you go see them and say, hey, you know, I've had something going, and they find out it's a bacterial infection, what do? They give you medication. Because that medication gets in there and roots that bacteria out, and they do something to get rid of that. They're not just treating and managing symptoms, they're dealing with the issue. Okay? And that's what we have to learn to do when it comes to temptation and this issue of self-control. Because the root of why we keep giving in to temptation is that we lack self-control. Now, don't think that means that we lack self-control in every aspect of our lives. The truth is that all of us in this room, we have self-control in most aspects of our lives. You know, we have self-control in most aspects of our lives. And we know that because there are many times during a given week when we want to maybe do bodily harm to somebody. You know, you just get mad. It's like, man, I could just, you know, I mean, you parents know. You just think, boy, I just want to strangle that boy. You know, but you don't do it, do you? Now, that's an extreme example. I know that. But most of us have self-control in most aspects of our lives. But here's the issue. All of us have those one or two areas where we struggle. All of us have those one or two areas where we struggle. And those, you know, and I, believe me, this is God's mercy and grace, because one or two areas is enough, isn't it? Because it is a constant battle. And in those one or two areas, you've got to learn not just that, hey, it's about turning a knob or reading another book or any of those things. It's not about fixing out here. It's about looking in here and dealing with heart, because that is where the issue really resides. So what's the plan? What do we do? How do we go about practicing self-control? What can we do to cultivate that? Like we said, self-control is inner strength. What do we do to cultivate inner strength? I think this is one of the areas where in modern Western Christianity in particular, we are so lacking, because we spend so much of our time pursuing and trying to achieve and get success, and we spend so much of our time critiquing other people. And even in the church, we spend a lot of our time critiquing other Christians that we don't spend much time really searching the depths of our own heart. We live, by and large, unevaluated, unreflected upon lives. And that's a problem. We need to learn how to cultivate inner strength. And this comes from being willing to examine yourself. And so how do we do that? First of all, look below the surface. Look below the surface. If the problem is deeper than we realize, then we have to be willing to go deeper than we think to find the stuff that's causing the problems. Because the fact of the matter is that our lack of self-control is always tied, it's always connected, it always unfolds out of some sort of character issue, call it personality issue if you want to. It grows out of something within us. For some people, their lack of self-control is tied to, it is connected to their anger. For some people, their lack of self-control is tied to or connected to their sense of insecurity, or it's connected to their sense of fear, or it's connected to their ego, or it's connected to their desire to be to be liked and approved of by everyone. And it's connected to those things, and it comes out as a lack of self-control. And those are not surface issues. Those are deep issues. We spend most of our time talking about behaviors when the problem goes deeper than the behavior to what is it at the root? What is the characteristic that is in my heart, that is in your heart, that's causing that? You see, it's not about manipulating behaviors. And we spend a lot of time in the church criticizing and critiquing behaviors. And there are deeper issues like fear, anger, insecurity, ego. You see, the Bible addresses those deep issues. Okay? The Bible addresses those deep issues because when you deal with the deep issues, the issues that are closer to the surface begin to clear up. And so you've got to be willing to get below, you've got to be willing to get below the surface. Many Christians just live and think that it's inevitable that they're going to blow it. That it's like, hey, you know, I just don't have any chance. I just know I'm going to blow it. I just know I'm going to mess up. Because we do all know that we're sinful. But we live our lives sort of just resigned to this, well, you know. And it almost becomes an excuse. Well, I blew it because, hey, you know, I'm a sinner, you know, and, you know, God just going to kind of sweep that under the rug, and I don't really have to deal with that. And so we just live with this almost as if we have no choice in the matter. But that's not true, because here's something you need to remember. Here's something you need to understand and you need to get a hold of when you struggle with self-control. And it is this simple phrase: I am not a slave. I'm not a slave. You need to write that down. I am not a slave. In other words, when you face the temptation that works against self-control, you need to remind yourself that you are not a slave to that. That you are not a slave to that. Now, where does that come from? It comes from Romans 6. Romans 6 says, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." Now, here's a little saying, here's a catchy little phrase that'll rhyme. You can write this down and use this. You are no longer a slave to sin because God has given you grace to win. You are no longer a slave to sin because God has given you grace to win. The Bible tells us that we once were enslaved to sin. Before you became a Christian, you were enslaved to sin. You really didn't have a choice. I mean, you know, it just was you. You were like this person whose walls were torn down. You didn't have anybody fighting for you. You didn't have anybody on your side. But when you became a Christian, guess what you did? God didn't step over on your side. He pulled you over onto his side. And he, the Holy Spirit, the person of Jesus Christ, they are your walls of protection. And you are no longer enslaved to sin. So here's how you apply this. The next time you see that cycle about to kick in, and you know what I'm talking about, because you know, you can see that cycle starting. You can see, okay, here comes that issue. Here comes that environment where I normally blow it. I can see it coming. It's probably going to come this afternoon about 2:30. It's probably going to come tomorrow morning. You can see it coming, because you've seen the pattern over and over and over in your life. And so here's what you do. You see that cycle coming. You know the temptation's coming. You think, man, I know I'm about to give in. I know I shouldn't, but I always do. Here I go. I'm about to do this. I know it's wrong. Why did I do that? So here's what you do. When you see that coming, you need to say to yourself, remember I told you last week, if you're going to be a Christian, you got to learn to talk to yourself. You need to learn to talk to yourself out loud. I know that sounds crazy, all right? But you need to learn to talk to yourself out loud. It's not crazy to talk to yourself. It just depends on what you say, all right, and who you listen to. That's what determines if you're crazy or not, all right? So here's what you need to do. You need to say out loud, I am not a slave to that. Or you could say, I will not be mastered by that. I am not a slave to that. It helps to name it. I mean, because you know what it is. I am not a slave to, or blank, you are not my master. You need to learn to say that out loud to yourself. Believe me, it works. Okay? It works. So there's a very practical thing for you. You see, sometimes we've tried the surface fixes and they haven't worked, and so we've sort of resigned ourselves to that lack of self-control. But instead, we need to go below the surface and we need to ask some hard questions. What is it that's wrong? What is it that is broken in my life or my heart that causes me to keep doing this? What is it? Probably, it's a lot of things, but you could just boil it down to self-control. What are you allowing yourself to be enslaved by that God has freed you from? The self-control, that inner strength you want, is available to you through the Spirit of God living in you. Ephesians chapter 6, this is our text tonight. Tom, you can put it on the screen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, where? In your inner being. In your inner being. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You see, it's in your inner being. The Bible never, ever, ever tells us that our problems are in our environment. It never tells us that our problems are our enemies. It always tells us our problems are in our heart. And that's where this lack of self-control comes from. Because as Galatians says, we don't always walk by the Spirit. So if you're going to cultivate inner strength, you've got to look below the surface. And then secondly, you've got to gather friends to help. You've got to gather friends to help. It's easier to have self-control when others know what you're struggling with. It's easier to have self-control when other people know what's going on in your life. This is another great weakness of the church in the modern day. Because the fact of the matter is that we don't need each other. We are so affluent, we are so well off, we don't need each other. That's why we hardly ever see each other during the week. Because I've got plenty of food at my house. I guarantee you, if we couldn't go to the grocery store for 3 weeks, I could put on another 5 pounds just with what's in my house. And the same thing is true of you too. And this is where we're different from first century Christians. They needed one another. Because some of them didn't have enough food, and there wasn't a program sponsored by whoever the emperor was to give them food. And so as Christians, they weren't really favored. And as Christians, if Billy and I were part of the same community of Christians and I was hungry, I was out of food, I was looking to him, hey brother, can you give me some food? But we don't need each other. We don't. And see, that's a problem. That's a problem. That's why we spend so much time trying to create all these environments, you know, for people to come to and that kind of thing. Because otherwise, we don't need each other. But we do need each other. Because God has knit us into what the Bible calls the body of Christ. It's making one man out of many. And we need each other. And we need, you know, we're great. We're great about praying with each other or praying for each other. We are terrible at talking to, and more importantly, listening to one another. We're terrible at that because that takes time. You see, prayer, I can say, well, hey, yeah, I'm praying for your brother, you know, and I can I may or may not pray for you. You'll never know. But you'll know if I'm willing to sit down and listen to you for 30 minutes and maybe ask a few probing questions. Hey, have you thought about, what do you think God thinks about that? You see, you know when that's happened. And that creates a different dynamic. You see, relationships are the crucible for spiritual growth. You know what a crucible is? A crucible is like a dish that they put elements in and they heat them up. And it, if you heat it up high enough, many times it'll create something new. There'll be a change. And see, change comes in your life and my life. Change doesn't come in your life just because you read the Bible. Change comes in your life when you read the Bible, somebody else reads the Bible, and you get together and you share it with one another, and you talk about it. That's when change comes. Oh man, I never really thought of it that way. Yeah, I hadn't really seen that before. And when you do that, spiritual growth occurs. And so you have to gather friends. Our society tells us, hey, just go it alone. We're very individualistic and independent thinking people. And our society tells us to go it alone and do it yourself. And too many times we Christians don't really think we need anybody else. Because we think, hey, the only thing that matters is my opinion. But you need the opinion, you need the input, you need the encouragement and support of others. So you have to gather friends. And then the last thing is, if you're going to develop and cultivate inner strength, is give it all up. If you want self-control, you've got to give it all up. And in fact, if you want self-control, you've got to be willing to give up control. Listen, folks, that is Christianity 101. Your first step into the kingdom of God was this. God, it's basically this. God, I can't handle this. Can't do it anymore. God, I realize that I can't talk my way out of this. I can't work my way out of this. I can't buy my way out of this. I'm in a fix. And God, I cannot control. There's nothing I can do to fix this, my eternal problem. God, I need you to do that. And I know and I believe you did it through Jesus Christ. You see, your step into the kingdom of God started with what? Giving up control. Giving up control. The problem is we take that first step, giving up control, then we get in and we thought, hey, well, you know, everybody else is trying to control everything. I think I'll do the same thing. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is, if you're going to experience and practice self-control, you have to give up control because God wants to, and he's more than capable of taking control and handling that. He just wants you to live life as he leads you and you follow him. See, his presence is the only thing that's going to solve those couple of areas in your life and my life. That's it. Is the presence of God, the mind of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit within us. You give it to Christ, he comes in and he does all the living through you. One of the greatest passages in all the Bible is found in Galatians 2, and it's Paul saying, for when I tried to keep the law, I realized I could never earn God's approval. So I died to the law so that I might live for God. And listen to what he says here. I have been crucified with Christ. I myself no longer live. I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What's Paul saying? He's saying, the way I look at my life right now, the life I'm living, my living and breathing is, it's really not me. It's me physically, but it's Christ in me, in complete and total control of everything I say and do and everywhere I go. It is Christ in me. That is what my life is now. He is in control. You see, when you give it up, when you give it all up, His presence comes in, and His presence brings inner strength and self-control. And when you have self-control, you have a much more fulfilled life. This is one of those fruit of the Spirit, one of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that we all know, that we struggle with. And you think, man, I just don't have self-control. You see, this is good news, y'all. This is good news. You do. You do. The question is just, are you willing to access it through the Spirit of God, by walking in step with Him? Are you willing to access it when you really need it? The one we're going to talk about next week is another one that we struggle with. Patience. Patience. Can I wait it out and let it go God's way and not have to have it go my way? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time we've been able to spend together tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the encouragement we have through Your word, the instruction that we have through Your word, and the power of it. And Father, as we think about those issues in our lives, those areas where we know we struggle with self-control, big or small, Lord, we just pray that You would remind us to say to ourselves, remind ourselves that we are not slaves because we've been freed in Jesus Christ. And we don't have to be mastered by anything other than Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.